Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We will resume our exposition of Psalm 23 this morning. If you are just joining us, we started a sermon series on the 23rd Psalm several weeks ago. It was interrupted by Easter and my absence last week. But I want to pull forward this morning by looking at verse 3. We've covered verses 1 and 2, and we'll look this morning at verse 3. We'll go ahead and read the whole psalm together, but we'll just preach verse 3. Let me remind you, church, that when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So may we approach the reading of His Word with reverence and awe. David says this, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul tells Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Father, grant unto us eyes to see and ears to hear. This we ask in the name of Jesus and by Your Spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible actually has a lot to say about sheep. In fact, it seems as if there's sheep on almost every page. For example, the Bible mentions sheep, shepherds, lambs, and flocks 698 times. And actually, Scripture is populated by hundreds of thousands of sheep. In Numbers 31, the Israelites seized 650,000 sheep from the Midianites. In 2 Kings 3, King Ahab demanded 100,000 lambs from the king of Moab. In 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon offered 120,000 sheep in the temple. And in 2 Chronicles 30, Hezekiah ordered about 20,000 sheep to be sacrificed. Moreover, many biblical heroes were shepherds. We could, of course, point to King David, the shepherd boy. We could also mention the shepherds who visited Christ at His birth. Interestingly, the very first animal referenced in Scripture by name is the sheep. Genesis 4:2 says that Abel, Cain's brother, was a keeper of sheep. So Scripture has a lot to say about sheep. Yet it's a book not ultimately about sheep, but about the Good Shepherd. It's meant to point us to Christ. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In 1 Peter 2:25, Peter calls Christ the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 5:4 says that Christ is the chief shepherd. Now, Hebrews 13:20 tells us that Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. There's that great passage in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The title of our sermon this morning is Under the Shepherd's Care, Part 3, Restoration and Right Paths. Part 1 from verse 1 taught us that Christ is our all-sufficient shepherd. Part 2 from verse 2 taught us that Christ gives us rest and refreshment in life. And we'll see in part 3 from verse 3 this morning how Christ restores us. He restores us when we are disobedient and when we're downcast. We'll also see how Christ places us, places us on the right paths in life. He gives us direction and instruction. I don't know about you, but I desperately need those two things in my life. I think we all need the Lord to restore us when we slip and stumble. We also need the Lord to place us on right paths in life. So those are our two headings this morning. You can see them in your outline. Restoration and right paths. So I want you to consider first with me the restoration that our shepherd provides. And for this point, we'll look just at the first half of verse 3. Verse 3 is four words in English, but it's only two in Hebrew. And notice how David so beautifully, yet so simply says, "He restores my soul." That's the key word I want to zoom in on, the word restore. The Hebrew word restore means to replenish something's vitality. It's to renew something's vigor and its strength. In other words, it's to return something to its previous state. So David is saying, the Lord has reinvigorated me. He's saying, God has revived me. God has refreshed my soul. Now consider the word soul. What does it mean? David says, God restores my soul. Well, your soul is your inner man. It's your inner person. In Scripture, the soul includes your intellect, your will, your affections, your thoughts, your desires. So David is saying there in verse 3, God has restored my inner being, my inner person. He's saying Christ has rehabilitated my inner man. Now, sometimes sheep can become what's called cast or cast down. And maybe some of you with a farming background or a ranching background might know about this. But basically, a cast or a cast down sheep is a sheep that's stuck on its back. And when they're cast, sheep can't get up on their feet. A cast sheep is belly up. And all they can do is flail around on the ground. And if a sheep gets into this cast position, it can really hurt them and even kill them. For example, gases in their stomach can build up, which in turn can cut off circulation to vital organs and to their extremities. And of course, a cast sheep is vulnerable to predators. They become an easy target for wolves and coyotes and wild dogs. It also makes the sheep feel really vulnerable and defenseless. I like what Phil Keller says on this point. Phil Keller is a professional shepherd who grew up in East Africa. He actually wrote a little devotional book on the 23rd Psalm, called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A great little book, Phil Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. But he says this. He says, a cast sheep is a very pathetic sight. Lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flails around frantically trying to stand up. Sometimes it will cry out for help. But generally it lies there, lashing about in frightened frustration. If the shepherd does not arrive soon, the sheep will die. Now, to me, that's a pretty good image for what can happen to us, isn't it? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel as if I'm a cast sheep stuck on my back. Has anybody here ever felt like that? Anybody ever felt like your legs are just flailing around in the air? It's like you're a fish. You're flopping on the ground, and you're trying to get back into water. Or it's like you're a turtle. You're stuck on your shell, and you can't get right side up. When that happens, that can make you feel vulnerable in life, doesn't it? It can make you feel defenseless or afraid. Being like a cast sheep makes you feel exposed and scared. And so that's the job of a shepherd. The shepherd comes alongside the sheep to restore the sheep. He puts the sheep back on its feet. He pulls the sheep out of the muck and the mire, and he puts them right side up. And that's what Christ does for us. That's what David is saying there in verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. Now, let's talk causes. What causes sheep to get into these downcast positions? How do they and how do we become cast? How do they and how do we get stuck on our backs? Well, I think there's three main reasons for why this happens. Three causes. Number one, I think sheep get careless. They take their eyes off the shepherd and they go off on their own. They carelessly browse in pastures where they shouldn't be. They don't listen to the shepherd's voice. And when that happens, they can fall over on their backs and they get cast. Well, so it is for us, isn't it? We can become careless. We can become sloppy in the Christian life. We can take our eyes off Christ, who's the good shepherd. We can become negligent in our prayer life, or delinquent in our Bible reading, or in our weekly church attendance. When that happens, we can backslide, and we can end up in the mud, just like a cast sheep. Number two, sheep get overburdened. You know, you have to shear sheep occasionally, or else they'll get overloaded by too much wool, and dirt and grime can get caked into their wool fleece. When that occurs, they can lose balance. They can fall over and become cast. I think that can be true for us as followers of Christ. You and I, we can get overburdened with the cares of this world. We can become overwhelmed in our jobs, or in our child rearing, or in our marriages. Or we can become overloaded in a certain financial situation with bad health. Too many things at once, it will end up on our backs like a cast sheep. Number three, sheep can be malnourished. Without the right diet, a sheep will get too fat, too flabby. They'll get weak. They'll get out of shape. And malnourishment's a recipe for winding up on your back, isn't it? Again, I think we have a lot in common with sheep. Without the Word of God in your life, you'll be malnourished. Without a regular, consistent prayer life, you'll be malnourished. Without consistent church attendance, you'll be malnourished. If we are ensnared in a particular sin, that can put us in a cast position. So those are the causes, but what are the cures? What are the remedies? In other words, how does God restore us from being cast? How does the Lord put us back on our feet? Well, I think the first thing, as I thought about this word restore, the first thing is that God restores us from stress or from strain. Most people don't handle stress too well. And if left unchecked, stress can leave us worried, fearful, and depressed in life. You and I think we can get distressed from our jobs, from our money. We can get stressed from our families, or maybe a big decision that needs to be made in our lives. And too much stress can put us on our backs. It'll leave us downcast. But God can restore us from those times in life. Maybe you've lost your spiritual fire. Maybe you feel emotionally and spiritually drained. Well, listen to verse 3. David says that God can restore us. He can take us from stress to safety. He can take us from strain and to security in Christ. The second thing is that the Lord can restore us from sorrow. Life can be stressful, but as we know, life can also be full of sorrow. We all experience heartache and heartbreak. To live is to suffer. Life includes suffering and sadness. We can lose our health to disease, our dreams to disappointment. But you know what? Listen to me. The Lord can restore us from that. He can restore us from stress, from sorrow. We all must seek a refuge and restoration in Christ. And He'll give it because David says so. David says, He restores my soul. David said also in Psalm 19, verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, or you could say restoring the soul. And the third thing is that God can restore us from sin. So He can restore us from stress, from times of sorrow in life, but also from sin. Now, some commentators think that David may have in mind his sin with Bathsheba here in verse 3. Remember over in 2 Samuel 11, David had an affair with Bathsheba. Her husband Uriah was gone, and David took her for himself. She became pregnant, and eventually David's son dies. And the whole story gets out of hand quickly, doesn't it? And David's life spirals out of control. But again, God restored David. David confessed his sin, and God forgave him. In Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12, David says, blot out all my iniquities. create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He says, restore to me. It's a similar Hebrew word. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Friends, listen. The good news of the gospel is that God can restore us if we've sinned. He can bring us back. We can't fall away from God, but we can get far away from God in our sins. In other words, we can't lose our salvation, but we can backslide. And when that happens, we need to seek restoration in Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David says in Psalm 32, verse 5, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. I ran across a good quote from R.C. Sproul a few days ago. He says, if God says, I forgive you, you are forgiven no matter how you feel. And to refuse that forgiveness is an act of arrogance. That's a great reminder, isn't it? If God says we're forgiven, then we're forgiven. So that's the restoration that the shepherd provides. David says in verse 3, he restores my soul. I want you to think about that half of the verse this week in your life. God can restore us. Now, second, I want you to see the right paths that he puts us on. So we're shifting from restoration to right paths, or from renewal to righteousness. We looked at the first half of verse 3, and now we'll look at the second half of verse 3. What does David say? He restores my soul. Then he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want us to look at this half of the verse from three perspectives, three angles. The promise we have, the direction we're to go, and the reputation at stake. So notice the promise that we have. Listen to this surety, this guarantee that you have as a follower of Christ. David simply says in verse 3, he leads me. You know, sheep have to be led. A sheep just can't make it on their own. They need a leader. They need a shepherd. In Bible times, in the hill country in Judah, a sheep had to be led because of inhospitable terrain. There are dangerous hills. There are snares at every turn. Moreover, sheep lack a basic sense of direction. They can get lost easily. Listen, without the Lord's leadership, you will float around purposeless through life. Without the Lord's leadership, you will float around purposeless in your life. And to me, that's most people out there today. They're just floaters. They're drifters. That's what happens without God in your heart. You have no leader. And you'll just drift from here and there and everywhere and nowhere. So you and I, we need Christ to show us the way. Christ has a plan. And his plans never fail. It's like what Corrie ten Boom says. She says, when Jesus leads you through your life, he brings you safely home. David says in verse 3, he leads me. So that's the promise that we have. Now, obviously, this touches on the topic of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And if you'll permit me to preach another 2 hours, I will solve that debate for you. But let me just say this. Yes, God is sovereign in leading in your life, but you have the responsibility to follow him. God leads, but you have the responsibility to follow. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me just read a few cross-references to you. I want you to take comfort in the promise that God is leading you in your life. I'm going to read several of these, so hang on. Psalm 31, verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way, for the Lord upholds his hand. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this is our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Psalm 73, verses 24 to 26. You guide me with your counsel. Whom have I in heaven but you? Psalm 139, verse 10. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So God leads, we follow. It's like the hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. It says, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. Thine we are. Or one of my favorite hymns is, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. It says, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Now notice next the direction that we're to go. So the promise that we have, if we're in Christ, he leads us. Now the direction we're to go. David says in verse 3, he leads me where? In paths of righteousness. Now, some say that David has in mind right paths, whereas others say he has in mind righteous paths. So, right paths versus righteous paths. Right paths refers to God's sovereign leading in our lives, or you could say his providence, which is certainly true, as we've just seen. God does sovereignly and providentially lead us in our lives. I think it's better to see verse 3 as righteous paths, which is how your ESV Pew Bible has translated it, as righteous paths. This means that David is referring to righteous conduct. In other words, this is a life that's pleasing to God. Righteous paths refers to our daily walk in holiness, our conduct. I appreciate what Ian Hamilton says on verse 3. He's a great Scottish Presbyterian pastor. He takes righteous paths to mean that God always leads us in holiness. He never leads us into sin. But he says this. He says, you can be sure that God never leads his people into disobedience. He will never lead you to follow other gods, to worship idols, to take his name in vain, to dishonor the Sabbath, to dishonor your parents, to murder, to commit adultery, to steal, to lie, to cheat, or to covet what is not yours. He asks, did you realize I've just highlighted the Ten Commandments? He goes on, God will not lead you to act arrogantly or proudly or selfishly. Never. He always leads his sheep in paths of righteousness. Let me just ask you this morning, are you on righteous paths in your life? Are you on the straight and narrow? Or are you off in the weeds? What I'm asking is, do you know the Lord? Do you know Christ? Are you following him in your life? Is he your leader? Is he your shepherd? If not, you need Christ. You need the good shepherd. So turn from your sins, repent of your transgressions, and place your trust in Christ alone. He'll save you. Isaiah 53, verse 6, which was written hundreds of years before Christ, says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So the Bible says we're all like sheep who have gone astray. We've all sinned against the Lord. But the Bible also says that if the sheep trust in the shepherd, Christ, then we can be saved. Jesus says in John 10, verse 11, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he'll go in and out and find green pasture. Now, where does this take us? Look at verse 3 once more. David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I call this the reputation at stake. And when David says for his name's sake, he's talking, I think, about the Lord's reputation. This is God's honor. This is the Lord's name. You know, back in this time, Shepherds could get a bad reputation if they lost sheep. It could ruin his good name if a sheep died on his watch. So it was in the shepherd's best interest to keep a close eye on his flock because his name was on the line and his reputation was at stake. Well, so it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, God is not about to lose his reputation by losing you or me. That's good to know, isn't it? He's not going to fail to lead us. He's not going to fail to guide us. Jesus says in John 10, verse 28, no one will snatch us out of his hand. So the Lord has given us this promise. David says he leads me. The Lord has also given us this direction. He never leads us into sin, but he leads us in paths of righteousness. And God always acts only for his own glory and for his own honor. He'll never leave us nor forsake us because of his reputation and his namesake. Actually, Scripture talks a lot about the Lord's namesake. Psalm 31, verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Psalm 79, verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Psalm 109, verse 21. But you, O Lord my God, deal on my behalf for your name's sake. Because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. Psalm 143, verse 11. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. 1 John 2:12. Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. About 5 years ago, Ligonier Ministries devoted an entire Table Talk edition to the 23rd Psalm. Most of you know Table Talk is Ligonier's monthly devotional magazine. But the entire August 2018 Table Talk edition was on Psalm 23. And Ligonier had a different writer explain and unpack every verse from Psalm 23. They had Sinclair Ferguson do a verse, John MacArthur, and others. So you might want to pick up a Table Talk edition on the 23rd Psalm if you want to explore Psalm 23 in more detail. But I like what Bert Parsons says. Parsons succeeded R.C. Sproul as the minister of St. Andrew's Chapel. He says this of Psalm 23, and it really ministered to me this past week. He says, Christ does not drive his sheep with a whip from behind, but he calls his sheep by name and leads them into green pastures. For he is the author, the pioneer, and the captain of our faith, who goes before us, even laying down his life for the sheep. He is the finisher of our faith, who protects and preserves us unto the end. That's a beautiful way to put it, isn't it? Christ doesn't drive us with a whip, but he leads us by name. And David has taught us in verse 3 that God restores us, and that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, let's pray together.